You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right, it's time to talk to the great Steve Young about a very interesting Sunday for the conference championship. Steve, how you doing?
Hey, Michael, how are you?
We're doing great on this end. So great. Let's start with the story that we started the show with. Fourth and goal from the 8, he elects to kick a field goal, does LaFleur. Was that the right move? Did you understand it? None of us do.
Well, the biggest issue I have is that, and he'll get better at this as he gets some age in him and some of these scar, this is going to be a big scar for LaFleur. But you come into that situation, you say to yourself or to your play caller, look, give me your four best plays. Because that lets everybody know what's happening. We'll kick a field goal here. There has to be a place coming in that you describe what people need to get ready for. And so the idea that Aaron came after the game and says, look, I didn't know, he made the call. I wish that I would have known, that I would have maybe handled things on the first three downs a little differently. And I don't know where who knows what Aaron knew or didn't know. But the clarity in those key pressure-filled moments to everybody understand what they're working on really helps. The fact that that wasn't there, at least it seems like it wasn't there, is a big mistake. And so he's going to have to get better at that. That's a fatal flaw. Now you get to fourth down. No one knows exactly what you planned on doing. You get to fourth down and you say, I got four timeouts in my pocket. I'm going to get the ball back. And I know that's what he's thinking, right? I got Aaron Rodgers on the sidelines. Let me kick the field goal so we can go down and win the game. And I think that sounds okay, but in today's game, as you guys have commented many times, today's game, you're going to get fired for not going for it. Used to be you'd get fired right for going for it. 2 points, some odd thing that you want to do, fake punt. Nowadays, people expect it. So the idea that you had Aaron Rodgers, and you know what, with Tom Brady on their side, you might not see the ball. So you have four timeouts, and you still might not, and that's what happened, right? They don't see the ball. So with that in mind, you better have a fourth down play you like at fourth and 8. Mm-hmm. Now, nobody likes fourth and 8 with the season on the line. That's a crappy spot to be in. But in context, you're not going to get fired for going for it with Aaron Rodgers. You're going to get fired for it for kicking a field goal and not getting the ball back. So that's the other part of it.
Yeah, see, did I feel great about them converting on fourth and 8? No, I didn't feel great because I saw the previous downs, and that's what LaFleur admitted. But, Steve, we were talking about it before. It's an offensive league. You got one of the best quarterbacks in football, and now I'm going to rely on my defense that couldn't get off the field on third down all day?
I 100% agree with you. My biggest problem, there wasn't a plan. What's the plan? No plan. That's a big issue. The second part of it is you have four timeouts. You have some sense that you're going to get the ball back. In today's game, you don't wait for that. Aaron Rodgers, dial it up for the fourth down play, dial up something and make it happen. The fact is, on third down, I want to say it's third down and the incompletion, Aaron really could have run it in.
I know, it felt that way.
Yeah, he just – and see, to me, an energized Aaron Rodgers, you need that extra – I've always said Aaron Rodgers can spit out 50 yards of rushing anytime he feels like it. His whole career, including yesterday. And I've always felt, and especially last year's championship game when they looked really flat and terrible, that not energizing Aaron's legs, you know what he can do with his arm, he's one of the best. But to put that threat out there, I thought was a big mistake yesterday. Having plays called for him to actually run the football, have him run an RPO and let him gain 15, like putting that pressure on defense is a mistake in my mind. And then the fact that at the end of the game, with everything on the line, he's still trying to complete it when it's just green grass in front of him, that's got to be gnawing at him more than anything. On third down, he had it. and
because
didn't take it.
Even if he doesn't make it to the end zone, Steve, what, he gets tripped up at the five, falls at the two, and then
now
they
you, now you make it for sure, right? Now you're definitely going to go for it on fourth down, is your point, right, Peter?
Exactly, and that's the part. And, right. And Steve, right. when you're watching Brady on that third down to finish things off, how sure were you that by hook or by crook, flag or not, they were going to pick up that first down?
Yeah, you had a – I mean, yeah. I mean, Tom's going to – I mean, they're going to – yes. Now, you got the interference call, I mean, the holding call, which was unfortunately blatant. Like,
right.
In that situation, if it's not blatant, it's not going to get called. But when you are literally perpendicular to the guy who's looking at it, right?
Right.
And you're looking straight at the shirt, like the stretched shirt, you don't have a choice. The guy doesn't want to throw that flag. In fact, you could tell he thought about it for
right.
10 seconds. He's like, I don't want to. But he realized what he just saw, right? Because everyone in the world is going to see the shirt being extended and being pulled. What am I going to do? He finds, I got to do it. So the truth of the matter is they probably were going to get the ball back short of something like that. But Tom was, let's be honest. I mean, you throw, I don't know the answer to this, but how many guys have won championship football throwing three picks?
On three straight possessions.
I'm going to tell you nobody.
Right.
I'm probably nobody. Who's going to – and when you do nothing – I'm going to overstate it. There was a completion to Gronk. There was a couple of completions here and there. But almost nothing in the second half of a championship game, and you hold on and beat Aaron Rodgers? A heck of a thing. And that's why the Packers have got to be just ruining so many things, not just the lack of calling on fourth down or Aaron not running it on third down, but going back to right before the half. What was that? I mean, to give up the touchdown and then the fumble in the first possession of the second half, 14 points with really – you handed them the championship. You did. You have to feel that way. We handed it to them. We have no one to blame but ourselves for allowing that to happen.
Now, Rodgers, after the game, Steve, was that just – you know, obviously you just went through this cauldron and you've got massive disappointment. I don't think he wants to go anywhere, do you?
Those kind of moments are, to me, are revealing. I remember when Ben Roethlisberger, after a bad championship loss or was close to playoff loss, I don't know if I want to come back. It's revealing. And I think it reveals something that's been around for a little while. And whether that means that how does the Packers let go of Aaron Rodgers? Not possible, right? There's no way. But it's revealing that's when, you know, when he's gutted, which he was, and he even said it, what you say generally is not theatrical. It's something gutted. It's in the inner parts of yourself. And I think he's speaking truth. Is I just don't know exactly what I really want to have happen here. So we'll have to watch that closely.
No, I'm a big believer in losing and learning from it. You saw it with the 84 Bears who lost to the 49ers, the 85 Giants who lost to the Bears, and the Redskins who lost to the Giants. Like, learning and then winning the championship the next year. Could that happen with the Bills? Did they learn that as good as they are, they've got a lot more work to do, and can they learn that in 1 year?
Well, and then they faced a team that's not going to go away for a while, right? So this is going to be their nemesis. Josh Allen has the potential, has the physical capabilities to do what Patrick's doing. But you could see that the moment was too big. You just felt it. Like, they just couldn't respond when they needed to. And the fact is that the Chiefs in 2021 are the – I mean, it's the perfect offense for the perfect guy, for the perfect place, perfect time for what they're doing. And it's I actually was – when he underhanded the little shovel pass to Kelsey when they came off the funny motion, and I'm just like, it's just fun. It's like, what can we come up with? But usually if you come up with some concocted motion or some play that you draw, you're like, what about this? What about that? 20 years ago, that smashed. Now Andy Reid's like, yeah, this might work. And it does, because there's just so much space and creativity. It's so much fun for offensive football players in this era of safety to go out and do. And so the Chiefs are the ultimate tip of the spear example of leaning into all of those rule changes and negotiations with the players and management to less time. They've leaned all of that in there, and now this is what you get, is this incredible fun and creativity for offense, because defenses are on their heels. They're flat-footed. At best, they're flat-footed. At worst, they're on their heels. That's the best-case scenario in the NFL.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We kind of touched on this last week, Steve. I'm watching the Bills with the ball, and Josh Allen is so good. But I'm sorry, you can't lose 63 yards on three sacks. I mean, he's got to learn to live another day. Is that something that's learnable? He's
100%.
So big and so strong.
Yes. He thinks I mean, Ben Roethlisberger used to stiff arm people and try to hold off linemen, and none of us were big enough to do that. So I don't know this problem, but the fact that you think that in 2021, you have defenses flat footed or on their heels, just generally. Yes, you can dictate. Yes, they can't hit you. Yes, you can't, they can't run you over. They can't do anything harmful to you. So you're emboldened, but that doesn't mean you're foolish and they're not great athletes. These are the best big men athletes in the world coming after you paid millions of dollars. The fact that they can't just launch at you or go low or hit you in the head does not prevent them from being athletic and taking you down. So that the same thing that we all faced is the same thing Josh faces. Look, these guys are great athletes. At some point, this isn't Wyoming, and he knows that, but instinctively thinks that I can still do it. I can still do it. I can still do it. And he's actually gotten away with it enough that he still believes he has to come to a point where you say, I am not going to put my team in a jam. Yeah, I can do something heroic, 1-10, not worth it. And the coach has got to tell him that. He's got to learn that. The heroic move, trying to go deeper into the pocket, is not going to be the option we're looking for from Josh.
In the Packer game, it looked like they were letting some things go. So as a quarterback, does that change how you go about things when you see there might be a little bit more you can get away with?
In championship football, that's just the case. If you're looking for a call in playoff championship football, you're an idiot. Like, you're not going to get the call. That's why when Tom got the call, you're like, of course. They stretched the shirt, they got the call. But you got to know that every ball you throw, and that's why I say he threw some balls that just you can't throw in championship football. And he did, and he didn't get away with it. And he did get away with one drop right before the half that would have changed everything, too. The one he threw that before he threw the touchdown. So, look, if you think that you're not going to have an extra level of focus and concern because you might not – a guy comes out of a route and he gets held, you're not going to necessarily get the call to get you out of a jam. That ball now goes into the chest of the corner. That's part of championship football, is the kind of the rub of the green feeling. Like, you're going to be – constantly dismayed that you didn't get the call you wanted and you're going to lose. So I think that's, you could see that yesterday. I think that's just generally with championship football. It's probably true for championship basketball as well, or anything else. You're going to have to win the game maybe 2.5 times to go actually win it.
All right, before we let you go, who do you like in the Super Bowl?
I don't know how the Chiefs get. I said this second week of the year when they beat the Ravens. Like, who's going to beat? The only team that's going to beat the Chiefs is the Chiefs. So they come out flat, they fiddle around, and they get so far behind. And Tom, somehow the running game, they just drain the clock, and they can't get back in the game. Patrick can't get the ball. Like, there's just very. And look, the other part that I feel this strongly about this, because the NFC doesn't see the Chiefs and the Bills, and I'm trying to think of teams that have the dynamic quarterback that the NFC sees, that with a great bevy of players and dominant talent, and the closest you see is the Packers, and Aaron really doesn't give you all that athleticism, and so I think even that bodes poorly for the Bucks, because they just don't know what they're getting into, and so short of the Chiefs beating the Chiefs, I don't know how it's possible. I mean, I'm coming up with scenarios where Tom comes out and lobs up a couple of long balls and they go up 14-0 and okay. I still don't know how they hold them off. So I just that's a long way to say that I think the Chiefs would be really, really tough to beat.
I think Mahomes has lost one game since week 10 of last season. One game. And that was to the Raiders.
Yeah, and it's just in the perfect place. It's every quarterback's dream to be with Andy Reid right now, with what Andy's doing. Everybody's copying what Andy's doing. And there's two or three other places in the league like that. I would say the Rams, 49ers, and the Saints are the three or four places where, as a quarterback, you just would dream to be. And then with the athleticism that Pat has, Patrick, you know, it's a beautiful place to be. Patrick Mahomes is not going to lose many games just because he's amazing, and he's got amazing support from top to bottom, from the owner on the way down to the equipment man. They've got it going on.
And they managed to turn it up when it counts. I mean, this is a team that's been good for 3 years, great for 3 years, and yet they were better yesterday than they've been over the last six to eight weeks.
Well, you get a feeling a little bit like the Warriors.
Yeah.
Where they got a lot of talent. They got a lot of guys, a lot of open mouths wanting the ball. But I never get the sense that any of them are like pecking at Patrick about it or Andy. It's like, look, it's coming my way. Harmon fumbles the punt, you know, and then he goes to the sideline. He's bummed because he feels like he's blown. And everybody's like, don't worry about it, bro. And then all of a sudden they got the reverse, then a big play, and now he's the difference. Like, they've got so many guys coming at you, and they all feel a little selfless. They're showmen, which is fun, but it reminds me how tough the Warriors were to beat, because they were actually superstars. They were pretty selfless in the moment. Like, they weren't a problem. The locker room wasn't full of a bunch of crap. Like, it's like, let's just go do this. And Andy can call up and dial up whatever he wants, and everybody's kind of all in. Like, yeah, great. One's for Kelsey, one's for Hill, one's for, you know, Matt. And like, and I think Patrick does a great job. He's probably pretty affable in the locker room. Like, bro, there's no one going to complain. No one's going to moan and get upset. They go into halftime and they're down. And let's say Tyreek hasn't seen a ball. I don't see Tyreek having a big fit like you see other teams with superstars. I just feel like the Chiefs are built to kind of keep this going.
Let me squeeze in one more before we let you go. Stafford, where does he fit? And do you think he's still an elite-level quarterback?
I do. I really think that Matthew has done something that I think is maybe the hardest thing to do in football, is to prop up a terrible organization. I mean, that's hard. I mean, it takes everything. It has crushed the best. And he has done a great job. And he is, at 33, unless there's some injury that I don't know about or some inability, he can still move. He can take advantage of the 2021 yards that quarterbacks can go get. He is going to give you every bit of, you know, these great play callers. I just don't want him to go somewhere where they're not going to take advantage of him. You know, with Frank in Indianapolis is great. All the teams I'm hearing are teams that he would probably really flourish. And he would love to be out from under what I think the weight of what's happened in Detroit over the last 40 years.
Good stuff, Steve. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Steve.
Be well. Inside the Huddle. You can get Inside the Huddle. When we get back, we're going to have another giveaway. So stick around, and we'll take your phone calls at 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.